Are you guys blessed with the day? Yeah? Teachings and all. It's a wonderful fellowship. So I'm going to stick with the theme here about gladness. If you wanted to give this teaching a title, I guess you could call it Loosen Up and Enjoy Yourself, because it's not a tightrope walk with God. And if you've ever seen somebody walk a tightrope, you know, then you know what I mean. And our walk with God spiritually is not like that. So today, I'm going to cover some verses about gladness. I'm just kind of setting the expectation here. Right? I'm going to cover some verses about gladness. Then we're going to look briefly at the two types of attitudes there are that people have regarding happiness or gladness. And then last, I'm going to give you pretty much seven reasons. Of course, there are many. It's impossible to count our blessings. But I just picked seven reasons why we should be glad, why we should be happy. And then that's your take home. Okay? Sound good?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's start off in the book of Psalms. Psalm 126. There are two really fantastic verses here that I wanted to open with that really sum up that I, you know, what I think is happiness or gladness, the theme of this day. Psalm 126. We're going to start there first. And in some of these verses that I'll read today, this particular one is from the King James Version, but some of the verses that I'll share with you today are from the Amplified Version of the Bible, which I think we've got that Amplified book back there. So if it reads a little different than what you're seeing in your book, that's why, okay? So Psalm 126, verse 3, it says, "The Lord hath done what kind of things?
Great
things for us, whereof we are what?" In a nutshell, that's why we can be glad. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So if you want to be happy, if you want to be glad, like Steve said, you have to have something in mind. You have to have something that you've remembered that God did for you. If God did something for me, that's fantastic for me. And you might get blessed to hear it, but God does stuff for each and every one of us. We need to remember that. Turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 2. Still hear the pages turning? Psalm 34, verse 2. It says, "My soul shall make her boast in the what? In the Lord. Not in what I've done, not in my accomplishments, but my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be what? Glad." Our God stories make people glad. People love to hear good news, and they need to hear good news. The humble shall hear this and be glad. You know, there are some folks in the world that are not humble, and maybe if we shared God stories with them, you know, they might kind of think it's a little silly. But after a while, when we keep going to work in the morning or school, and there's always good stuff that we're talking about, you know, people say, "Well, how are you?" And our response isn't "not bad." Our response is "freaking fantastic." They either think you're on something and will mock you, but you know what? If that's consistent, guess what's going to happen? They're going to want to know what's going on. Why is it that you have all this stuff going on in your life and I don't? I think we said that people were fruit inspectors. Yeah. I have a question to ask you. When God makes preparation for things, or when God takes action on something, like, let's say, creation, was it important that God made preparations and, like, did creation? Right? So it was important that he made preparations for all this, the stars, the moons, and all right? Well, think about this. We've been learning today about happiness and gladness. God did things. He prepared things for us so that we could be happy, so that we could be glad. That to him is just as big as a creation. It's no different. So we would think, oh, this huge deal about God doing creation and the heavens and the earth and all this. And he's thinking, well, I want you to be glad. I want you to be happy. And he uses the same power to bless us that he did to do all that. Think about it. Think about it. So we should share our God stories with people. I look forward to it because that's my opportunity to witness to people. You know, witnessing isn't just going door to door and asking people if they know Romans 10, 9, and 10. We can expand the definition a little bit. How about just people knowing that you're blessed and that your needs are met, but that you're prospering, especially now? People are looking for a place. You know what? They're looking to knock on your door to find out what's going on with you. Why are you still prospering in a time where all the rest of us are out there to dry? A lot to be thankful for. Turn to Proverbs. This is a verse that Steve covered already, Proverbs 12:25. This one I'm going to read you is from the Amplified Version. So Proverbs 12:25. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad. If we're going to walk with God, and if we're going to walk with one another, we're going to need to travel light. And traveling light doesn't mean that, you know, like Lance and I used to wear shoes with soles that thick on them, you know. Yeah, the platforms, baby. Had it down. Yeah. That doesn't mean traveling light, you know, not wearing things heavy, not owning a lot of stuff. It's what's going on in our heart. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down, but God is the one that delivers and takes that pressure off. One of the wonderful things that's great about being in a body and in a family is that, like Steve, you know, talked about earlier, we have other people that love us and that care for us. So even if I'm down, even if I'm not believing the best of myself or other people, or saying to myself, you know, things that are encouraging from the Word, I have all these other people that are reaching out to me, all these other people that are telling me what the Word says about myself. So, you know, if I had my Bible here, now, when you get up in your morning, does your Bible say, over here? No, and if it does, you'd probably be like, what is that, you know? So the Bible doesn't get up and talk to you, you know, but a person who has the Word of God in their heart that God is inspiring or that he's working in, they can come up and they can share the Word with you. That's something that the book can't jump off the desk and do. The book is not going to chase you down the street saying you didn't read me today. Yeah. And if it does, you let me know because it's time for, I don't know, something's going on. So you see why? Because of these great things, we can loosen up and enjoy ourselves. Because you know what? Even if I miss a detail, how many people are there in this room that God could work in that could catch that detail that I missed? There's a lot to be thankful for, man. More than we realize, there's a lot to be thankful for. So that's just a couple things on gladness. Now, let's take a look at these two attitudes I was talking about. You know, an attitude is basically the way you think about something. Negative, positive, pretty much boils down. It's one way or the other. In Proverbs, I love this book. It says something really great about attitudes, and it's Proverbs 15:15. Again, another verse that Steve covered. Thankfully, I do have a few that he didn't, so. Proverbs 15:15, it says, and just a heads up, I'm going to be reading this from the Amplified. All right. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the desponding and afflicted are made evil by their anxious thoughts and foreboding. And if you're saying, excuse me, but what does desponding and foreboding mean? Desponding is basically people when they lose hope or downhearted, right? And forebodings is basically when people come to the conclusion of negative things all the time. You know, I don't know. Don't stand too close to the curb because something might happen. Don't do this because something's going to happen. Everything is always a negative slant. So Proverbs 15 says, all the days, how many? So do they even have a good day? No. There's something negative all the time. All the days of the desponding and afflicted are made evil by their anxious thoughts and foreboding. But he who has a glad heart has a continual what? Feast. And that's regardless of circumstances. What a wonderful life. And this is a person, this anxious person, is someone who, in the world, they've been used. They've been let down. They've trusted in the things of the world. They were told to. They did what they were told to do. And they were disappointed. People failed them. Things failed them. And it changed their attitude towards life. That's who it's talking about. But that's not us. Look at Psalm 16. And as we've heard today, our attitude towards God's word will determine how happy we are in our lives. Whether we're 15 or 51 or 105. Psalm 16, and in verse 11, this is from the King James that I'll be reading. Psalm 16, 11, it says, "Thou wilt show who? The path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forever what? Evermore. Thou wilt show me, God will show us." Put your name there. God will show each of us how to walk this path of life with him. And when we walk that path, we're in God's presence. And just being in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And in his right hand, what does he have? Yeah. I love the word of God, and I love God because he's got perspective. He knows how to keep things simple. Rather than chasing around a whole bunch of things, the career, the this, the that, all the different things people chase after, he makes it simple. He says, you know what? I'll make a deal with you. How about I have everything that's good that you would ever need or desire, and all you have to do is just stay in my presence. And then you get it all. Instead of not being in God's presence and then getting nothing and losing that which we did have. It's quite a deal, isn't it? Is there any other place that we can get this guarantee? If there was, he would have told us. All we need to do to be truly happy is simply walk with God and stay in his presence. Then we have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And God's taking the guesswork out of it. That's a wonderful thing about the lifestyle of a believer. We don't have to figure it out. God's figured it out already. All we need to do is just do what we're told to do. I put a note here. It says, if you want someone to understand and retain something, you have to make it two things, simple and rewarding. If you really want someone to retain something, you have to make it simple for them to get, and then when they apply it, something should happen. Good. Something good should happen. It should be rewarding. And when people see that, and it's rewarding, they want to do it again, and then when they see more rewards from it, they just keep doing it and doing it, and then they can get convinced of something. And that's how it is with God. And in terms of walking with God, you know, it said that God will show us the path of life. And you think about it, you know, we've all walked down the path. Would he make this path hard to find? No. Would he put ice or potholes like we have in the wonderful roads here in New Jersey, you know? Let's see. How about, would he make that path something difficult to stand on, like a tightrope? How many of you ever walked on a tightrope before? Not for long. Only about negative 2 seconds. I pretty much fell off as soon as I got on the thing because I didn't have the balance. But our walk with God is not like that. It's not like walking a tightrope. So if he said he's going to make a way for us, and if he's going to show us the path of life, then he's not going to pull the wool over our eyes, or he's not going to make it a treacherous path so that it's hard to navigate, hard to find, hard to stay on, or hard to even balance your life on. I can walk with God's word without that stick they use when they're walking on a tightrope, that big long thing, that, you know, I don't need that to walk on the word. We'll see why. Now we're going to get into the reasons why we should be happy. This first one I really dig. It's because, reason number one, God has given us the room we need to walk and to grow. And you can't see the detail here, but on my notes, I've got two pictures. The one on this side is of a guy walking a tightrope that someone, to make it a little more interesting, actually lit on fire. Talking about hot stepper? There you go. The other picture is of a beautiful country road lined by trees, fall foliage, big wide road, you know, very pretty, very picturesque, probably something like you'd see upstate where the Consiglios live. Don't see stuff like that around here. Turn to Psalm 18, verse 36. So with those two things, you know, a guy walking a flaming tightrope, I would imagine there's some pressure on him. Whereas if you're just walking down a big, beautiful, wide country road, there's really no pressure. It's not like you're going to fall off one side or the other because it's so big. Psalm 18, verse 36. Now this one I'm going to read to you from the Amplified, so it's going to sound a little different. It says that you, God, have given me plenty of room for my steps under me, that my feet would not slip. God's given us plenty of room. When we got into his word, God gave us plenty of room. Before, we were a little confined. We didn't really have that room we needed to grow, to walk. Those of you who know about plants and you know this stuff, if you want the plant to grow, you can't frickin' put it in a little, you know, when the roots get bigger, you gotta plant it in a bigger pot. So when I walk with God, I have plenty of room. I'm not stressed out, I'm not confined. He's put me in a bigger place. And I'm not concerned about falling, because if you've got a lot of room, I mean, if I'm walking a tightrope, yes, I'm concerned about falling. But if I'm walking the path that God's put on in front of me, or put me on, it's this big, wide thing. I couldn't fall off it if I tried. I could fall over and still be on the path. That's the reality that we have spiritually. Even when we make mistakes, we're still, does God stop loving us? Is it that we're not going to heaven anymore? No, we're still on the path. We just fell. We just need to get up. You know, sometimes when the pressure is on us, there's a temptation that the world, and let's just call it spade, the devil, puts out there to make us think that life is harder for us now because we're believers, because we know the word. Life is more difficult for us now. You know what? The truth is, life is hard for everybody, because honestly, the devil doesn't like anyone. And if he could, he would destroy everything, and he's tried in the past, right? But the reality here is, our life is better because we've gotten into the Word. We have more resources now than we ever had before. I couldn't operate the manifestations before I got born again. You would ask me, what are the manifestations? And I would have said, it's a new group or something. Nah, I don't know. Anyway, let's look at the second one. So again, these are all reasons why we should be glad or happy. God delivers us because he delights in us. That's the second one. And Steve, you know, I talked about that people make time for the things in life that they delight in. Well, God delights in us, so who do you think he makes time for? Psalm 18, verse 19. I'll read that. Psalm 18, 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Did he bring us into a smaller place than what we had before? No. Some of you are having your families, you know, for the first time, your first or second kids. And maybe when you lived alone, a small apartment and a twin bed was cool. But when honey came along, maybe it was time to get a bigger place. Maybe that one bedroom wasn't great anymore. Or when you had your first kid. You see what I'm talking about? A larger place. He delivered me because I owed him money. And I owed him so much money that he couldn't have failed, he couldn't afford to let me fail, like those bailouts that we gave AIG. No. He delivered. God does what he does for us because he delights in us. And that means he makes time for us. So that whole idea of us, the pressure that we have in our lives that we put on ourselves sometimes, or many times, that tightrope walk that we, you know, we get ourselves up on the tightrope, that's not God doing that. So you know what? Get down. Why would you want to walk across a freaking flaming tightrope when you could walk down a country road sipping cider, you know? Imagine, you know, out here, if we all wanted to stand shoulder to shoulder, right, and walk a path together, how big would that path need to be? Pretty big, right? We couldn't even get out the doorways in here because none of them were big enough for us to walk through if we stood shoulder to shoulder. Think about this. Well, it said if God would show us the path of life and all this other stuff, and he wants us to walk together as a body, if we were to stand shoulder by shoulder, that means that that path that God wants us to walk on, it's big enough for everybody to walk on it. How big is that? How big is that path of the whole body of Christ to walk on? So if he's made provisions for all of these believers to walk that path, is there room for me and what I need? Of course. You don't go into some huge museum thinking, oh my God, it's a little, you know, small in here. No, I mean, the ceilings are high, the things are big. You feel like you could do cartwheels and not even bump into anybody. Same thing. We have all the room we need to grow. The world tries to tell us that in order to grow, we have to go and do other things. God gave us plenty of room. Plenty of room. Third point. God knows me as an individual, and he meets my need. That's why I can be happy. And in Psalm 103, 103rd Psalm, again, here's another verse I'll read from the Amplified Version. Psalm 103, verse 5, and it says, who satisfies your mouth, and here, this is carrying this figure from the east of when the eagle would feed its, I guess, what do you call them, chicks, if it's still an eagle? I don't know. The little eagles, the baby eagles, the chicks, or whatever you call them, are in the nest. You know, when the mom comes, you know, goes and gets the worms and whatever they feed these things, you know, and it's feeding time, you know, and so they're all, you've seen the pictures in the, you know, they're all like that, got the mouths wide open. But some of them eat more than others, you know, and the mom knows which one has a bigger appetite. So she feeds them according to their hunger, according to their need. So here it says, who satisfies thy mouth or our mouth with, in mouth meaning our necessity and our desire at our personal age and situation. Let me say that again. Who satisfies your mouth, which means, you know, our need, which is our necessity and our desire at our personal age and situation. If I were 10 years old, would I need the same things now that I am when I'm 38? No. So God knows when I'm 10 what I need, and when I'm 38 what I need, and when I'm single, and when I'm married, when I have kids. You see what I'm talking about here? He satisfies our necessity and our desires where we're at. And he knows that you're different from me, and you're, and I, and you, and you, and you. He knows that we're at different places, but he still feeds us according to our hunger. That is cool. That's a reason why we can be thankful. He doesn't make us eat the same stuff. He doesn't make us dress the same way. And the world always rails on Christians because it's like, you know, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. No one has more options available to them than a believer. No one. Because even if you run out of options in a situation, your Father is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He'll just make more options. It's not like God gets stumped. Oh, I don't know what to do. Come on. All right, the fourth. God doesn't deal with me according to my sins. And that's where all of us can say hallelujah. Yeah. Psalm 103, and I'm going to read to you from the Amplified. Verse 8 through 14. Psalm 103. Verse 8 through 14. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy and loving kindness. He will not always chide or be contending. It means he's not always looking to pick a fight with you about something. Neither will he keep his anger forever or hold a grudge. Anybody ever hold a grudge against you? Even after they forgave you, supposedly? You ever hold a grudge against someone else? Even after you said supposedly you forgave? Yeah. God isn't like that. He's not always looking to pick a fight with us and pick out faults. And he doesn't hold a grudge against us. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. And if you don't know what iniquity is, it's the stuff you do wrong. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great are his mercy and loving kindness toward those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. And as a father loves and pities his children, so the Lord loves and pities those who fear him with reverence, worship, and awe. In verse 14, and this is such a big golden nugget here. He knows our frame. He earnestly remembers and imprints on his heart that we are dust. It's not that God has a low opinion of us. He just understands what's going on. He knows where we're at. He knows how fragile and frail things are. Right? He understands this. And what makes this wonderful, too, is that we can be happy because when we make a mistake, it's not like God gets stunned. Oh, my God. Yeah, God says, oh, my God. You know, no. He doesn't get stunned. You know, when we make a mistake, it does not rock God's world. Now, according to Ephesians, we're supposed to be imitators of who? Huh. You know where I'm going with this. Why do we get so rocked when people make mistakes? Why does it just take us right off the path? Why do we get so rocked when we make mistakes? Do you think God said, oh no, okay, we've got to make less room for that one, right? You know, Sandman Sims, you know, like we're doing our little thing, we make a little mistake in the routine, and spiritually speaking, God sends like Sandman Sims out and says, oh no, you got to get off the stage, bro. Sorry, you messed up. Mm-mm. No. Think about that one. That's a big key to happiness, is by not getting rocked when we make mistakes or when other people do. Because God doesn't. And if we're imitators of him, then that relationship that we have with him will stay sweet, and the one that we have with each other will be sweet. Fifth point, another reason to be happy or glad, is because God has called us into a body with other people. And in Psalm 68, verse 6, this is one particularly that I really love, and I try to sneak it in there pretty much anytime somebody lets me teach. Really? Because not only is it the word of God, but it's the story of my life. Every time I read that verse, Psalm 68, verse 6, it says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Yeah. God setteth the solitary, the people that are out there by themselves or alone, in families, and then he brings those out that were bound with chains. I didn't grow up with both parents. I've never even met my father. So I guess in the world, I guess they would have called me a bastard child or something like that, some one of those harsh old English words, you know. I didn't have a normal family life. My family wasn't really too close with one another. And, you know, when my mom died and those that were really close around me, I thought that was pretty much it as far as family was concerned. You know, and that changed a lot for me. But something happened. It said that God sets the solitary into what? Families. God doesn't dig the idea of people being out there in the world by themselves. He doesn't dig that. So this whole thing of, I can do my thing on my own. No, that's what God says. Whose family is this? God's. So who makes the rules? That's right. Maybe, you know, I don't know what your experience is. Maybe you didn't have a great family life either coming into the Word. Maybe you grew up in a household where no one told you that you were special. Maybe it wasn't normal for people to say, I love you. You know, a lot of times people grow up in a house where their parents never say that they love them. But, you know, I put food on the table. I pay the bills. That's love. But, you know, that's not what we have. I can't tell you how many text messages, emails, letters. Every time I have an interaction with a believer, it always ends with, I love you, you're God's blessed. I've never been told so much that I'm so important, that I'm so loved, as to when I got placed in this family. It just didn't happen before. Am I the only one, or can I get a witness on that one? You know? Yeah, all right. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 3:15. And this is a hallmark verse here. It says, and let the peace of God, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called in one body. And how does it end? It says, and be ye what? That's right. We should be thankful that we've been called and made a part of this one body. And you know how you first start being thankful, or a good simple way to kind of launch into it is say thank you. Literally, say thank you. When someone does something nice for you, you should say what? Thank you. When God's done, when you realize that God's done all this stuff, there's nothing wrong with just sitting back in your chair or whatever you sit on when you read the Word and just saying, God, thank you. There's nothing wrong with that. We should be thankful to God for what He's done. We should be thankful to the believers and say thank you when they do things, where they act lovingly towards us. Don't just like, oh, well, you owed it to me anyway. You know, there's that verse about the debt of love and all this, you know, owe no man nothing. I don't have to thank you for that. You owed it to me. No. Did God owe anything to us? All right. Other people don't have it like we do in the world. No one's watching their back. As a matter of fact, they're looking over their shoulder in case somebody comes up on them, you know. Just the other night, Elkie came over. I was coming home, and I came home early for the trip last night, and Elkie was at the apartment. She just wanted to make sure things were all right at my place because I've been away a long time. And so she didn't know I got home early, and I'm sitting there like kind of reading the Word, and she like kind of tiptoe in, and she was ready to throw down. She thought someone had broken into the apartment. And so I'm sitting there, and I kind of look over my shoulder, and she's in kung fu mode, man. But we have people to look out for us, you know? We have people to look out for us, and that's what I'm talking about, you know? Before, I wouldn't have had anybody to look out for me like that. It's wonderful. let's go to the next point. So the sixth one is God can prosper us in whatever we do when we put Him first. He can prosper us in whatever we do. Psalm 1. You know, and this is something that if you're thinking about going to school, trying to figure out what to pick or what first job, what career you want to have, whatever. Psalm 1, verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Is that a reason to be thankful? You've got options. So what if you didn't go to Harvard? So what if you didn't work for this company or that company? So what if this didn't happen the way that you thought it should have? You can prosper in whatsoever you do because of God. That is a big reason to be thankful, because let me tell you, people in the world, they're saying, oh, well, if this person got rich and famous, I want to go to the same school, wear the same clothes, eat the same food. And you know what they do? They see it didn't work. You know? It's wonderful. when we do stuff like that and we think that we don't have options and we don't want to put God first, it's thinking small. You know, when we get focused on the needs and the wants and the desires, it's thinking small. God is thinking big. You can prosper in whatsoever you do. Whatsoever. Thinking small makes it hard to believe big. Verse 7, the seventh point, sorry. God gives us everything we need to enjoy ourselves. That's the seventh point. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, it goes into that. And it's cool with this because this verse here that we're getting ready to read, I'll read it from the Amplified, it just shows you that God's no respecter of persons. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 says, "As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others, or to look down on other people, nor set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Charge them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be liberal and generous of heart, ready to share with others, to serve." So, even if the person's someone out in the world, he still says, you charge them that they don't trust in the uncertain riches, but on God who provides everything that people need in order to enjoy themselves. But just once he blesses you and he, you know, prospers you, this is what you do with it. You give. You be liberal. You help other people. So whether the person's a believer or not, God still tells them what the deal is. And if they are applying principles, they'll still prosper. But for those of us that are God's kids in his household, it's just as true for us. And there's just as much that's there. So because of that, because of God's grace and his goodness, then it's a pleasure to do what we do and that we can serve and we can have a lot of joy in our service, just like this person who happens to be rich in the world can serve other people and have joy in that. So those are the points. Let's do a little recap. So why should we loosen up and enjoy ourselves? Because God has done great things for us, period. Because he's given us the room we need to walk and grow. Because God delivers us because he delights in us. Because God knows us as individuals and meets our need. Because God doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Because he's called us into a body of other people who love us and care for us. And because God can prosper us in whatsoever we do when we put him first. And lastly, because he's provided everything that we need to enjoy ourselves. So those are just seven reasons to be thankful, but I'm sure you guys can think of so many more. So that's it. I love you. I hope this blessed you. And I will close with prayer. You can clap for the Lord later, but I'll pray first. So Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for providing richly for us. Thank you so much that we can be joyful and happy in this day and time and for all the wonderful things that you've not only given us, but in such store that we can bless other people in our service. So thank you for these beautiful people here. Father, now we could just continue to enjoy your word this day in a fellowship with one another and with you, and that we just make this day the most glad and the happiest that we could possibly make it. So I thank you for these things and for the opportunity to share your word here today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.